Hello, my friends. I'm Payman Motahede, your host for this weekly program, Freedom Law School's Freedom Hour. And I'll be having Ed Zoll join me a little bit also. What I do every Thursday night, I answer your questions after I do a recording session of our educational material on the Freedom Hour. The goal is to have American people be free. No longer slaves. When you every year file a form with the IRS, a 1044, on which you under oath swear that you owe the IRS money, you swear it's true, correct, and complete, and you beg your master to please accept my expenses, deductions, and credits, and you wish and pray your accountant, TurboTax, CPA, tax attorney, whoever helped you prepare that 1040 form is good, is right, competent. They know what they're doing. They understand this gobbledygook of Internal Revenue Code, the Bible of the IRS you're supposed to follow in filling out the 1040 income tax transaction trap form. Yeah, all this minutia. You pray he knows it well, okay? Because you want to go to prison. You know, but you're trusting this person to do it right, and you don't know if they're doing it right. And they do it wrong, your tax guy doesn't go to prison. You do. Yes. And you know, if you ever go, I'm going to show you how the petitions to Congress are the safe way to go. It's the best way by far to stay out of tax prison. Yes, filing, you put the rope around your neck. You confess you owe the IRS money. Everything is as true, correct, and complete under oath. And you trust in this incompetent tax lawyer. They're all incompetent because none of them understand this. None of them understand the federal tax law definitions that does not apply to people of the 50 states. The people of the 50 states are not required to file income tax as published on the U.S. government's official legal websites. You've seen that at Freedom Law School's website. Step one, follow the law we have on there as found on U.S. government's official legal websites. So now that you know that, I'm going to explain to you about the whole petition process, how that's so critical to keep you free out of prison. So with that, let's get everything together. I'm going to bring my favorite book cover up. The Federal Mafia. We're going to defund the Federal Mafia, folks, and restore freedom in America. Ready to go, guys? Okay, let's do it. Hello, my friends. I am Payman Motahede, the president of Freedom Law School, which I created in 1996. In this presentation, I will share with you why you petitioning your three congressmen to show you the law that requires you to file and pay income tax, telling them that you will pay and file income taxes if they show you the law, is the key to keeping you out of tax prison. Folks, it's a fact. No law requires people of the 50 states to pay any federal income tax unless you are a federal government worker, contractor, or pensioner. The only people required to file income tax, as you've seen on our website, freedomlawschool.org, is citizens and residents of Washington, D.C., and as I said, federal workers, contractors, and pensioners. That is it. When you go with a tax attorney, CPA, accountant, TurboTax, HR Block, you take the risk that these guys know the law well, but they do not. They do not know the Internal Revenue Code, the IRS's Bible, because this thing is deliberately made so convoluted. And on top of that, the government lawyers and the courts are so crooked, pro-government, no matter how well you do it, they can always get an agent on the stand to say that the version your accountant did it was the wrong way. The IRS employee testified the right way, and you, the jury, you must hold that the way the government agent on the stand said is the right way to go. Therefore, your counselor just greased your way to prison. Yes, the judges can make sure of that. You cannot be safe with these crooked judges. So how do you protect yourself from the criminal IRS, the Department of Injustice, and the double crooked judges who work together to keep you as a slave? It's simple. You take charge, follow the law, write your lawmakers, insist they follow the law, ask them to impose the law on the executive and judicial branches of U.S. government, and tell them that you'll pay any taxes, federal taxes, if they just show you where you are wrong clearly and specifically. So when you go to our website, we have a step 5, question authority. Yes, there's a critical step that you must follow, okay? Not only educate yourself by reading these petitions, you educate your congressman, and you should know, okay, that you are protected under the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution that guarantees your right to petition Congress to remove government renegades who are violating federal law and your rights. In America, we have no taxation without representation, so write your representatives. And it's important that you make a record of you trying to follow the law, and your petitions are exactly that. You make a record. So with that, let me give you an overview of this process, okay? Now, you'll see right now there's 7 reasons why when you do the petition process, the way Freedom Law School teaches you, you will not go to prison. In fact, you're not going to even face a trial being charged because this system is so foolproof following the law that they'd be fools in the government, in the Department of Injustice, to try to put you, without our petitions, on trial. Okay? So here we go. These are the reasons. First of all, Department of Injustice, they don't want the risk of losing a case. If they have a weak case, they don't want to do it. They don't want to go after someone who's going to beat them. That's very embarrassing to them. So they don't want to do that, okay? So that, in fact, that happened, for example, in the case of Joseph Bannister. Joseph Bannister is one of my students, a former gun-carrying IRS special agent with the IRS's Criminal Investigation Division who exposed income tax fraud. This is his book that Freedom Law School published back in 1999 called Investigating Federal Income Tax. That's him in the back when he worked for the IRS. Okay? So he wrote a book and then asked the IRS to refute it. He's exposing the IRS scam and says, if I'm wrong, tell me. Then he went around the country exposing the whole fraud, you know, because IRS refused to show up the law. Why? Carrying a gun. He is enforcing a non-existent law. So they tried to put him in jail, but guess what? He never filed an income tax confession form for the year 1999. He was in trial in 2005. He had multiple years of not filing or paying income tax, 2000, 2001, 2, 3, 4 years. They could have easily charged him for not having filed an income tax, but they did not do that because they knew they would lose. You see? So when the government knows they have a weak case, they will not do a dumb, stupid thing and hand us a victory, which is why they never came after me, criminally charged me, when I haven't filed and paid income tax for over 30 years, which I openly not filed income tax, and I taught American people not filed income tax, okay? So this Department of Justice risk is a big issue, okay, to keep in mind. Now, second thing is 12 jury members must agree that you're guilty by beyond the reasonable doubt standard. That is big, okay? I'm going to cover that and a little bit some more. Then I'm going to cover the issue of willfulness law. What is that? Why they have to prove you wanted intentionally to break the law, okay? And how you don't. You're innocent, and we'll show you how these petitions protect you in that regard, okay? And then how the U.S. Supreme Court decision on willfulness supports our position, and the courts give willfulness instructions to juries, and how you can testify to the jury about a petition to Congress. Yes, how even if you don't, if you keep a petition to the jury, just your testimony about it, tell the jury about it is enough. Let's continue. Here is at justice.gov, the Justice Manual of the U.S. Department of Injustice, Principles of Federal Prosecution. Go down to initiating prosecution, probable cause requirements, okay? And here we go down further, okay? And what they say about this, about when grounds for commencing or declining prosecution. There's standards they want to meet, okay? What they say is that long-standing threshold requirement from principles of federal prosecution is that prosecutor may commence or recommend federal prosecution only if he or she believes that the person will more likely than not be found guilty beyond a reasonable doubt by unbiased trier of fact, and that the conviction will be upheld on appeal. See, they know that. They got to meet a high burden beyond the reasonable doubt, convince 12 jurors. They don't want to take a chance on that, okay? And they must have evidence sufficient to sustain or approve a conviction is required, okay, to avoid a judgment of acquittal. All right, well, let's continue on, okay? 12 jurors must agree. That's right. There's 12 jurors in federal tax trials, no matter where you're tried, okay? And they all must agree you are guilty. This is in the federal rules of criminal and civil procedure. They both have it, okay? So that a jury conviction is required unanimous of jurors, okay? Now, let's go to the U.S. Supreme Court and to the case of Miles versus United States, okay? In this case, the Supreme Court reminds us the obvious fact that in a criminal case, the evidence upon which the jury are justified in finding a verdict of guilty must be sufficient to satisfy them of the prisoner's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. Again, remember, guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. See, the civil case for money, the level of guilt is by preponderance of evidence. Who has the heavier side, your side or the other side? But in a criminal case, when they want to put someone in prison, the government must prove beyond a reasonable doubt to all 12 jurors that you're guilty. That's a heavy burden they must carry, and they know it. Okay? Now, in this case called Cheek versus the United States in 1991, the U.S. Supreme Court clarified completely the issue about the willfulness in defense. What is willfulness? Well, let's talk about that first. In tax laws, willfulness is necessary for someone to go to prison. You must know you have a known duty to follow the law, and you deliberately broke the law. Okay? I'll show you. Okay? So here we are. This is Title 26, the Internal Revenue Code. Okay? And here's Subchapter A, Crimes. Section 7203 is willful failure to file a return, supply information, or pay a tax. Okay? So they say any person required under this title to pay an estimated or tax. Okay? So, file return. Who willfully fails to do all these things, this is key. Who willfully fails to do all these things, okay, can be imprisoned not more than 1 year, okay, and a fine possibly. but the key is willfully fails to pay or file, okay? The other section, section 7201 from the Internal Revenue Code is 7201, attempt to evade or defeat a tax, okay? Here again, it says any person who willfully attempts in any manner to evade or defeat a tax, okay, that person will go to prison and can get no more than 5 years of prison, okay? So the key again is willfully. What does that mean in law? Well, here is Supreme Court telling us willfulness, okay? As construed by our prior decisions in the criminal tax cases, requires the government to prove that the law imposed a duty on the defendant. That defendant knew of his duty and that he voluntarily and intentionally violated that duty. Three things, folks. The government must prove, one, that the law imposed a duty on you. Do you believe that? You know, the law exists that says that you must file income tax. There is no law, okay? But you have to believe that first, that you know there's a law that you got to pay income tax, and you knew you had a duty to file income tax, but it's not the case, and that you voluntarily and intentionally violated the duty to file income tax. But again, there was no law in the first place and no intention to break a non-existent law. So you couldn't violate the law that doesn't exist. Okay? So let's go further, folks, about this issue and let you know that the courts routinely give instruction to the jury about this issue, that the government must prove willfulness, which is all this. I'm going to give you more on this. The law says that. Supreme Court says that. Even the government lawyers say that, and judges say it. And it makes the law very, very, very good, because law is so convoluted these days. They want to make sure that you knew you had to file income tax, or, you know, before the trial even put you in jail. Okay? So here it is. In this case, for example, the trial court advised the jury that to prove willfulness, the government must prove the voluntary and intentional violation of a known legal duty, a burden that could not be proved by showing mistake, ignorance, or negligence. Okay? So this is something that the courts know. And the standard, they always, in a criminal tax case, they tell that about the job, about the law to the jury, okay? Now, let's go to the criminal tax manual of U.S. Department of Injustice at justice.gov, okay? There in the manual, you go further into it, and they have a proposed jury instructions. Yes, tax evasion, willfully defined, okay? And they say the third element the government must prove beyond a reasonable doubt is that this person acted willfully. What does that mean? Willfully means a voluntarily and intentional violation of a known legal duty. That's key, known legal duty. You believe you have a legal duty to file income tax and you don't do it. Well, guess what? If you don't believe you have a legal requirement to file income tax, there's no known legal duty. You don't know of a legal duty, right? Okay? And the person's conduct was not willful if he or she acted through negligence, mistake, accident, or due to good faith misunderstanding of the requirements of the law. See, all that is your defense. A good faith is one that is honestly and genuinely held. Yep. So, folks, not only are we educating our lawmakers and ask them to stop the government renegades from misapplying the law to the people of the 50 states that do not own income tax, okay, but at the same time, laying your protection down but relying on the law, okay? Your good intention, okay? You're honest, okay, about the whole thing. You have, you know, you're not trying to cheat, okay? So, and the petitions, folks, are so important because in the federal laws, Title 28, Judiciary and Judicial Procedure, there's a chapter 151, the return judgments. Section 2201, basically it says here that you can go to federal courts and get an answer to anything, okay? And the court may, you go sue in court and the court may declare the rights and other legal relations of any interested party seeking declaration, okay? You can go, if you want to build a nuclear reactor on the border of Georgia and Alabama, which affects multiple states, federal government has jurisdiction over issues like that. You want to know I'm going to follow the law properly. You can go to court and a judge will bring the Department of Justice and tell you exactly what you need to do if you have questions and what you should not be doing very clearly. That's wonderful because that way you never break the law. You do it with all federal laws except taxes. Yep. Except with respect to federal taxes. When it comes to federal taxes, you are on your own. The courts are closed. You cannot get an answer from the courts. You cannot go sue the courts to tell you what your rights and obligations are. And you go to the IRS, they may fine you $5,000 every time they don't like what you said. Yep, they don't like your question, fine you $5,000 for simply asking. You ask again, you object, hey, why are you imposing $5,000 on me? You're wrong. Another $5,000 on you. Hey, what are you doing? This is wrong. Another $5,000 on you. So you can't go to executive branch, the IRS, the U.S. Treasury for answers. You cannot go to judiciary. The courts are closed. What's left? The last branch of U.S. government, the legislature, the lawmakers. Yes, your House member and the two U.S. senators. You can write to them. They're supposed to be the closest branch of government to you because you elect, re-elect, or not elect them every 2 or 6 years. You directly control them with the people. The judges and people in the executive branch, you have no direct control. People that work for the IRS, U.S. Treasury, they're appointed there by U.S. presidents. You got to get rid of the presidents to get rid of them, maybe. The judges are nominated by the president and approved by the Senate, only with impeachment by the House of Representatives and conviction by Senate can the judges be removed. But House members, the U.S. senators, you can get rid of. So you have the right to write to the lawmakers for answers, okay? So that's what you want to do. And that's what Freedom of Speech petitions are, okay? Ready to do for free for all of you, fill in the blank forms. This is the one about the individual income tax. We have it all about different aspects of federal taxes, like payroll taxes, employment taxes, and so forth. Okay? And we break down the law in these petitions. Okay? We quote the laws verbatim from U.S. government's official legal websites. And we have them attached at the end of these petitions. Again, right there, listed attached. The law you're quoting is attached right here and highlighted for the ease of the congressman. Okay? You can't get anywhere than this, folks. Make it easy for the congressman to show you where you are. And here's what we do. At the end of the letter, these petitions, like the individual income tax one, we tell the congressman that I or we, okay, am not liable to pay any federal income tax. You mean up front, tell them, look, I don't owe any federal income tax based upon my understanding of the law from the government's official legal website, which I have attached. And I appreciate your service to our country and for taking the time to fully read my letter. I know they don't do that, unfortunately, but in time, as more of us do this thing, Hopefully they will. We're going towards that, okay? But they should answer us because they're the only people that can give us any answers, right? If by reading this letter with officially published Internal Revenue Code and Code of Federal Regulations sections, Supreme Court cases, and U.S. Constitution Court attached, you can show me that I have somehow misinterpreted these statutes, regulations, or U.S. Supreme Court decisions, and that I do owe federal income taxes, I will gladly pay all taxes due and will consider such payment to be my fair share. Look at that, folks. We're not tax cheats. We're not trying to break any law. We're not trying to not pay our fair share of tax or our known legal duty. Okay? We show the whole system is a scam. And if we're wrong, we humbly are willing to be corrected and pay our fair share. Okay? So that's why we write a congressman at the end of this. When your independent research verifies my discovery that the U.S. individual income tax does not apply to the average Americans like me in the 50 states, I urge you to educate other Congress members about this matter and see if they agree that this justifies conducting an investigation to expose the truth about this government renegade conspiracy and put an end to the poverty of Americans. And I look forward to your timely, specific, and on-point reply. See? Why not? We've been sincere, honest, and straight. Folks, I've done these letters myself. Okay? And if my congressman ever shows me what I'm wrong, I will file income tax. In fact, I got called his office. I went to his office, asked him to meet me to talk to him. They don't call you back. Unfortunately, they don't represent us like they should be. But I'm going to give up. I'm going to keep trying to go to him and say, you must answer these. You uphold the Constitution you took an oath to uphold. That's right. You have the right to demand for them to answer you and follow the law. And you should keep at them. Write them, call them, visit them like I have, and hopefully get with them and straighten them out. But even if they ignore you, you're going to be free because the petitions show your honesty and integrity. So, in a situation like this, you get to bring this all before the jury and talk about it. But people say, oh, Paymon, the double crooked judges will not let the jury see the law. Okay, let's suppose they will not. I think they will because in this case, you know, testify about it. They will have to. Here's what's going to happen. You take a stand like I would. So they say, Paymon, why did you not file income tax? Well, very simple. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I'm a person who believes in following the law. I'm a stickler for the law. I think everybody should follow the law. I'm not trying to break the law. And I came across these petitions that lay out the law about income tax very clearly and thoroughly. It's all based upon U.S. government's official legal websites. Not the opinion of some accountant, enrolled agent, CPA, or tax attorney. They got their opinions. They all could be wrong. But I went to the government's direct sources of law official websites. That's what they're there for. That's what the attorney's supposed to go there to follow the law. I did it myself in these petitions. It was very, very clear that people of the 50 states, like you and me, in my discovery of the law, are not required to file income taxes. Yep. These petitions have the law quoted, at the end listed, attached, and the relevant language highlighted. Easy to follow. So easy. So I followed the suggestions of Freedom Law School on these petitions that said that, you know, if they show you that you're wrong, you better pay your fair share of taxes. Now, I agreed with that. Yes. I told the juror, my congressman, not only I owe no income tax, if I'm wrong, show me, and I will gladly, humbly pay my fair share of taxes. and ask him to show me if I'm wrong. I ask him to forgive me specifically where I'm wrong, because this is not some opinion, some wacko job. This is U.S. government's official legal website, remember? And I triple checked it with my lawmakers, my House member, my two U.S. senators. I gave them each a copy of the letter, and I made sure they get it. I mailed it to them by certified mail to make sure they get it. I wanted proof that they got it. And I have those petitions with me. I'll be glad to let you see them for yourself and see what I wrote to them. You know that I'm trying to follow the law, you know, and pay my fair share, but none of them said I was wrong. I mean, after all, how could I be wrong? It was all based on U.S. government's official legal website. They were quoted in the petitions, listed, attached at the end of the petition for ease of reading of the congressman. I even highlighted the relevant parts. So how could they show me I'm wrong? Because I was right. And sure enough, none of them showed me I was wrong. And that's why I said, well, I'm a stickler for the law. I follow the law to the T, and so should the government. I arrest your Department of Injustice, even some crooked, double crooked judges who seem to violate the law. They just want money, 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 money. All they want, the law doesn't matter to them. Okay? They want money, 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 in my opinion. That's why they're doing all this. So you want to see your petitions? I have them. I'll be happy to show them to you. Now, with that kind of a testimony, something like that, which won't take long to prepare anybody like you to just say those things, right? You think the government, the lawyer, and the judge want you to say that to the jury? What are the 12 jurors going to think? They're going to think something like, what? You say me, you got in these petitions that are based on U.S. government's official legal websites, quoted, listed, attached, and even highlighted relevant part, and you want to double, triple, quadruple check them around your lawmakers to make sure you're right. And you said you told them you will pay your fair share of taxes if they show you're wrong, and they never did? They never showed you were wrong? Huh? Why wouldn't they show you wrong? Why wouldn't they show you the law? You took the time to send these petitions that you said were about 50 pages each. When we got conviction beyond the reasonable doubt standard, we told by the judge that, you know, you knew you had to file income tax, and you deliberately chose to ignore, violate the law, but you seem like you try to follow the law. And the law you claim is on your side. And on our side, by the way, it's just like you, we are citizens of the 50 states. And most of us in this jury are not government, federal government workers. So we're not required to file income tax even with you. Boy, I wonder why these petitions we cannot see. I certainly would like to see those petitions. Okay? And they're going to ask the judge to show them the petitions. And if the judge says no, the jury's going to say, wait a minute. Why can't we see that? Why? We can't convict the guy because he said he tried to follow the law. He checked, we've got some government's official legal websites he followed. And he even wrote his lawmakers, all three, and I'm sure he was wrong. Well, we cannot agree beyond the reasonable doubt he's guilty. That he willfully and knowingly, intentionally violated the law when he believes no law requires him to file income tax. So we have to all vote not guilty. That's why, again, Joseph Bannister, they didn't come after him. Because in his book, he had his own stuff about income tax being a deception. And the government knew that would go before the jury. He wrote a letter to the IRS commissioner saying, look, I'm a gun-carrying agent. Show me the law I'm supposed to enforce with the gun. I think we're lying and robbing the American people. I cannot in good conscience enforce a non-existent law on the innocent American people. show me where I'm wrong so I'll be clear to my mind I'm doing the right thing. And the IRS wrote him back and said, we won't answer you. You want to leave? Leave. What? They don't show their own gun-carrying agent the law that requires the people of America to file income tax that he's supposed to enforce with a gun? See, it's the same thing. They never even charged Joe Gangster with having willfully failed to file income tax. And he hasn't filed income tax now for over 23 years. Now I'm not filing and paying income tax openly for over 30 years. Why are they trying to put me on trial and shut me up, put me in jail for not having filed the income tax? Because they know I will win. In fact, remember, unless the government has over 80% confidence rate that they're going to get a conviction and upheld an appeal, they won't even bring it up. Not only they will not bring it up, if they lose one of these cases to us, that's terrible publicity for the IRS. They don't want that. When Joe Barrett's law beat them in 2005, it was bad publicity for them. In the description below, here you'll see the video. They talked to Joe Barrett, the jurors, and that acquitted him, you know, their testimony. They tried to get Joe Barrett by tying him to some other person, a loose cannon named Al Thompson, with the idiotic stuff. They said, you were in a conspiracy with him to cheat the government. That was a very desperate attempt by the IRS. Shut up, Joe Bannister. Former gun-carrying IRS agent, don't expose the IRS fraud to the American people. And it didn't work. We shot back in their face. Okay? That's why they will come after me. That's why they will not come after you either. In fact, they will even come after you. You're a tough target to beat. You're going to beat them anyways. They're either going to someone who's into patriot mythology nonsense. Like Uniform Commercial Code, UCC arguments. Sovereign, old states, there's an argument. I'm a U.S. national argument. Bankruptcy of the United States. I'm under common law. Not statutory admiralty jurisdiction arguments. All these baseless legal fears are replete out there. Don't have to know that, is anybody. They're not going to come after our people who've done the petitions based upon U.S. government's official legal websites. I mean, write the lawmakers, all three of them, by certified mail, that quote, list, attach, and highlight the relevant laws for congressmen to refute and to counterfeit us. Got it? That's what this is 100% proof. Where are you going to win? They won't even charge you with a crime of not having filed income tax, just like they have not dared to charge me with not having filed income tax, okay? They try to mess with me with our jury, okay? Just some government bait by a judge. Even then, I beat them. In tax court, in district court, I beat them there too. IRS appeals office, I beat them. So if they cannot beat me there with a judge who's crooked, we can ignore the law and facts because he's pro-government communist. How are they going to get 12 jurors, average Americans, to agree beyond the reasonable doubt that me or you had no law required to file income tax? You deliberately not to pay your fair share. Okay? With these petitions, you're saying, I don't know what. If I'm wrong, show me, I'll pay my fair share. So with that, folks, I hope you understand you are protected, and they will not put you on a list either. They will not, Congress will put you on the list because you asked these questions. They will not send a letter to the IRS, oh, get that guy. He's a tax guy, one of those guys. No, they don't do that. The politicians are too busy raising money to get elected. Money, money, money to elect for elections. Unfortunately, they trash can your letters. Don't even read them. Even the aides don't even read them yet. We've got a lot more petitions. They follow up with our congressmen to get them to answer at this time. But they have the time or interest to try to get you some government list. Okay? That doesn't do them any good. So let your brain do the thinking. Okay? Don't let them control you with fear, folks. Understand the law. They say people suffer for lack of knowledge. That's right. Ignorance kills. And you must seek the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And these petitions are that. So be sure to go to our website, okay? And be sure to get to step 5. Question authority, okay? Write your lawmakers about the law, okay? And free yourself by writing the U.S. Guard of Congress. You are protected from imprisonment with our petitions, okay? And at the same time, you're stopping renegade government insiders from imposing the various federal income tax, payroll taxes, and others that you do not owe in the first place. So with that, folks, I want you to know this. I love every one of you. And I want you to have a free life. I want you to enjoy your life and have your life the way you dream it to be. Because it belongs to only one person, you. You are there for you and your family, not the government, not these crooks who want to enslave you. But I cannot choose freedom for you. You must make that decision. You must continue on your path to freedom. And your path to freedom is there for free on our website, freedommosco.org. If you want the option of us protecting 100%, that is also available. So go to freedommosco.org. Listen to our videos as you drive to or from work, your errands. Watch our videos during your lunch and dinner sessions, and stop filing pay income tax and start living a free life now. Tell those Americans, because all the Americans, return America's freedom once again together. Okay, well, let's go now to your questions. And before I do, let me bring my co-host Ed Zoll on the line with us. Ed, are you there, my friend? My pleasure. How about if you go to some questions from our audience, and then I'll answer questions, and I'd like to get commentary if you also add, okay, whenever you care to make some commentary about these people's questions. All right? So we have right now 4 people waiting to get the questions and answers from area code 859, area code 631, area code 727, and area code 906. And if you have questions, folks, the call number is on the screen, 657-383-1755. And when you get there on your telephone keypad, press 1 and push that, and that will let us know you have a question. We'll take a question after these 4 callers. Again, the number is on the screen, 657-383-1755, and press on your telephone keypad, press 1, and we'll take a question after these callers. Okay. Let's go to the call from area code, 859. Let's see, you're live, my friend. America 859, please give me your first name. I heard about us. And then your question, please. Yes?
Yes, hello. I'm calling from Louisville, Kentucky, and I saw you on X. And I'm listening to this for the first time. I've always heard something similar to what you're talking about, but never really.
What's your first name?
Ted.
Okay, Ted, continue, please. Huh?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'm listening. Yeah. Yes. I'm calling from Kentucky, and I've always heard people talk about things like this, but never seemingly as in depth as yourself. Some of the things that you're listing, I was jotting a few things down, but a little faster than I could write. Is there do you have a place we can reference we can find these particular questions and things we can put together to send in accordingly, so we have a paper trail?
Well, you go to freedomlawschool.org and you'll see that based on the U.S. government's official legal website, no law requires 98% of Americans to file on income tax and pay all taxes. So you'll go down and there's seven steps you must take to free yourself of IRS deception, fear, robbery, and slavery. That's how they get you. With deception, okay, they make you afraid. Now that you're afraid, they get to rob you, and now you're a slave. So the key is to go there and take the seven steps, and you'll be free of all these crooks. And step one is the most important fundamental. Follow the law. We are sticklers for the law. And our videos support this from U.S. government's official legal websites. Step two is end the filing of income tax forms. No more putting a rope around your neck on those forms that you sign on the penalties of perjury under oath. Step three, realize the IRS is over 99% bluff. Yes, they are the real Wizard of Oz. Step four, take courage from our victories. Yes, me and my students have beaten the IRS. None of my students who've been with me for over 20 years, I've done this. Came to me clean and stayed with Freedom Law School, have ever gone to prison or had the IRS levy their bank account paycheck or seize any of the home or assets whatsoever. So you'll see that. That gives you courage that this stuff can work and does work. Okay. Then I just covered step five, write your lawmakers about the law. And then you can stop there if you want to be free. You will be left alone by the IRS, 99% plus. Because IRS is leaving non-filers alone. Okay? You can keep 100% of your hard-earned money. Step six is optional for those of you who have the spirit of the America's Founding Fathers, want to contribute, be part of Restoring Freedom in America. If you choose that and join our Restore Freedom Plan, then we will guarantee 100% you will not go to prison and IRS will not take any of your money. Otherwise, we will reimburse you in full. No one, no tax attorney can offer anything close to that. And step seven, we invite you to spread the word, tell others to get America back. So, Ted, just go to freedomlawschool.org. On your drive, listen to these videos. When you at the lunch and dinner, watch them, and you're going to say, wow, you'd be like in the movie Matrix. Remember the movie Matrix, Ted? You know, yes. They have Neo cracked in the back of his head. They're programming him, okay, with, you know, and he opens his eyes. After a while, he says, I know Kung Fu, right? Remember that scene? And the next scene, he goes karate chopping and Kung Fu with, you know, with Marcus, right? Well, sure. You plugging yourself in the back is going to freedomlawschool.org and listen to my presentations as you drive around and watch them during lunch and dinner. When you be, I know you're busy. Nobody takes the time to watch videos on their own anymore. You do it while eating. So do that, and you're going to be free. All right, today's
I understand.
Yeah, I do have one more question. What if you're self-employed? Does this also apply to you as well, or is there something else that could be applied, or maybe there's not as much to it if you're self-employed?
It applies to everybody. Remember, I mentioned it. The only people required by law to file and pay federal income taxes are citizens and residents of District of Columbia. In step one, you'll see that. So whether you're from Japan, Germany, England, Florida, Texas, California, Kentucky, doesn't matter. You're not from D.C. The United States, as they talk about, you got to pay income tax, is not the 50 states income people. It's the seat of the U.S. government, D.C. That's what they're talking about. You see those definitions in step one, as I told about the Supreme Court, these principles. You see, oh, now I got it. They tricked me. They put U.S. individual income tax. I think, oh, that's me. I'm from U.S., the 50 states. Oh, that's I'm the U.S. individual got income tax like you, right? And you see, wait a minute. In the law books, the U.S., the tax laws is defined as the District of Columbia. That's the United States person, not the people of the 50 states. So you'll see that, my friend, when you go to step one at Freedom Law School, their website, freedomlawschool.org.
Okay. I won't keep you. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome, Ted.
Thank you.
So, Ed, what do you think about that? We had a first-time caller, totally new to him, all this stuff. And stayed with us. And stayed with us. Because some people have come and they left after a few years. They followed basis and patron mythologies. I have it happen. I tried to talk to them. I remember this doctor and his husband, her husband in California. They went after patron mythology. They said, don't do that. That's nonsense. You're into it. They did it. A few years later, I found that they were criminally charged. Yeah. So people got to stick to the plan. All right. Thank you, Ed. Let's see. We got more callers. Let's see. We've got 631 area code caller. Let's go to the list we got here. And then 727 area code caller we got. And then we got an anonymous caller, all ones. And let's see, we got area code 409 caller. And let's see, area code 443 and 516. Okay, we got a lot to go through, Ed. So we got to... Folks, I'm going to try to get to all you guys pretty quickly. The 631 area code caller, I'm going to get to you next, my friend. Give me your first name. Let's go to him because he was on it first. Looks like he just came back. It's that 631 area code caller. Okay. From 631 area code, my friend, give me your first name. I heard about us. Get your question quick, please, because we got a lot of people behind you waiting, my friend. Yes, sir.
All right. Very good. You can hear me, right? My name is Demetrius.
Yes.
I heard about you from one of your advertisements, one of your interviews with Diamond and Silk, actually. My question is that I recently just left the company I was working for, and I have a pension there. In order for me to take it out, they're going to take out 20% for the federal, income taxes, and then the rest of the state taxes is my responsibility. Is there a solution or a way I can avoid paying unnecessary, taxes?
Yes. That's a commonly asked question. All you do, Dimitri, how old are you, Bobby, Dimitri?
So 40.
40. Roll that over into an individual retirement account. Don't just take it out. Put an individual retirement account, IRA. And the best kind is a self-directed IRA. And there, because it's going from one retirement account to another retirement account, technically you're not taking possession of it. It's held by a trustee of their IRA. It was held by a trustee of pension company. Now the IRA is, they will not take anything out of your the pension money. Okay? I have a video about that on our Frequently Asked Questions on our website, by the way. So we have a page called Frequently Asked Questions that under educational, let me show you. See, under educational, FAQ, click on that. There'll be a lot of common questions like that answered in there. So take use of that, and I'll, you know, it's your money to keep. Anything else?
That's it for now. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. All right. And how about if I go to another caller, my friend, then we can bring you to comment on both two calls. We got a lot of them to call, are calling us tonight. Let's see. We have a call from Erico 727. You're live, my friend, with Freedom Law School. Give me your first name, how you heard about
yes.
us, and then your question.
My name is Leslie, and I went to your recent Orlando conference, and it was wonderful. And my question is, can you hear me okay?
Yes, uh-huh.
My question is, I have a friend who lives in California. She's up in Napa. I used to live in San Diego. But she got cancer, and she didn't pay $35,000 in California state income taxes. And then time went on. She tried to make contact with them to do something about it, and they didn't return. And then she forgot about it. Now they're coming after her for $75,000. They doubled it. With penalties and taxes interest. Now, does your what you talk about only applies to federal tax, correct? Not state tax.
Is that your question? What's your question, Leslie?
The question is income taxes. Does the same thing apply for state income taxes in California as it does
yes.
for the IRS for federal?
Most states that claim to have a state income tax, they follow federal law and federal definitions. California is one of them. See? However, this California is the most aggressive, lawless, and arbitrary of all tax agencies in America. So
yes, I've heard that.
Yeah.
I have one
so
second
I,
question.
Sure.
What the second question is, I just sold my family farm. It's been in the family over 100 years. The IRS wants their cut, their share. Now, that's really not I'm retired. I'm 60. That's, to me, that's not an income. That, you know, I just sold the family farm. Does everything, the same principles apply for capital gains or the sale of a property, like a family farm?
Okay. Whether your money comes from wages, salaries, commissions, business ownership, stocks, bonds, real estate, farm, X, Y, Z, it doesn't matter. It's not taxable.
Okay.
The issue is not the kind of money you're getting. It's where it comes from. The U.S., in U.S. individual income tax, is not the 50 states that we think of. That's the 50 states in a normal sense we think of as the United States. But for tax purposes, in federal tax law, that is only the District of Columbia, okay? I'm going to bring it to you guys on my screen right now, okay? You see right here, for tax purposes, here it is. Internal Revenue Code, Title 26, Chapter 79, Definitions, okay? Section 7701, when used in this title. What title are they talking about? Title 26. The Internal Revenue Code. This big, thick book, this is the Bible eye of the IRS. This is what you're seeing online on my computer. Okay? They hid the definitions in the back rather than the front. Here's from your plain sight. And they say when it comes to tax laws, these terms like person, corporation, they have specific meanings. And United States, per state means shall be construed to include the District of Columbia, not California, Texas, none of the 50 states are listed. United States, in the geographical sense, when I talk about it, includes only the states, which is the District of Columbia, and again, the District of Columbia. So United States is D.C. plus D.C. You get 2,000 DCs add up to DC. That is the place, the U.S., individuals got to pay income tax. D.C. people, not the 50 states people. You are free. You owe the IRS zero. It is that your ignorant accountant, CPA, tax attorney, who wants to pay him money to make you a slave and take part of your inheritance, of your family farm, and give it to the IRS. Okay? So call us, and we have to guide you on this stuff more. You should pay these guys zero. You owe them zero income tax. All right, Leslie, anything else?
Yes, I spoke to a friend who's a retired IRS agent. I spoke to him about an hour ago, and I asked him this question. I said, can you show me the law that says we have to pay taxes? And he said, I'm retired now. I don't have access to that information anymore. That was his answer.
What a cop out, huh? All right.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. All right, good. I'm going to have to add comments on that one. Anything else before I go to add on your commentary, on that, Leslie, on that feedback?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Anything else you want to say? Because I'm going to get the end of the question before I get to Ed.
No, you were great. Thank you. Thank you so
You're
much.
You're welcome. Yeah. Everybody think about all that. Thank you. Yeah, I'm just loving it. This guy says after 30 years of retirement, all these years he never learned the law that supposedly he's imposing on American people. Yeah, what a nice cop out. Okay, well, let's go to the call for America at 906. My friend, you are live with Freedom Law School. Please give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
Hello, Payman.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, my name's Mike, and I just heard about you, I think, yesterday, maybe last night. I was looking up Zuniga and Hendrickson, and then I found you, and I've been watching you pretty much straight.
Very good, very good. And how may I help you?
Well, I had a number of questions, but I'll just ask one. When you have student loans that were from Consolidated, and then they're forgiven, they do that after 25 years, I believe. And I did get confirmation. I received a letter out of the blue, hadn't applied or asked for forgiveness from Joe and Camel. That was a surprise. But my question is, I've heard that that can be categorized as income. What do you think about that?
I don't know about that to be sure. I can tell you this. I got to look it up. I don't even specialize in government benefits type of thing. That's not my shtick because I'm not a socialist. I don't like social programs. I don't like government involved in any aspect of our lives except protecting us from bad guys. So I think so I'm not sure how that worked. Probably not, but I got to look it up. I would be curious to see the letter that you got. What does it say? Under what law did you get that loan? If what you got in any way could be construed as performing function of public office, it could be taxed.
Well, it was
probably
for
not,
a uni-
how much was it?
Well, originally it was, I think, about 50, and then it turned into 90, and that's about where it ended. And if you're in good standing after 25 years, this is part of the federal government loan program. After 25 years, you're eligible for it to be forgiven. I didn't ask for this. All of a sudden, I just got a letter. And I was very surprised that I just got this letter. and I knew it was about 25 years. And but I've heard before that, you know, that can be categorized as, and in a way, I think that would almost be justified. I mean, I advise all kids now, or, you know, young people, don't take those loans.
Right, right, exactly. You know, I don't know for sure. I don't think so, because they paid off the lender for you. You didn't get no money. The lender got paid. You didn't get paid anything at all. They paid off the
bank. The lender was the government.
The government itself?
Yeah, it was
like
Perkins
Loans.
Was given
by the government or by a bank? Who was your lender originally?
Well, back 25 years ago, it was the government mostly. Now they changed, and it's the banks, and these kids are even in a rougher spot. But, yeah, it was the government back then. It was Perkins Loans, Stafford Loans.
I wouldn't want to tell you something 100% honest. I knew 100%. I cannot give the answer to you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I thought that's a good question.
It is. But I've never had this kind of question about this government benefits. I don't specialize in those. I focus on people that are working, and whether it's their own business, you know, or they work for somebody,
sure,
or sell a property, whatever they got, all that stuff is free. But that, I don't know. But don't worry about it. Focus right now on educating yourself and be free from here forward, and tell others if you want to reward you and pay you for sharing other people about the message of truth and freedom that we offer. Okay?
Yeah. I love the information.
All right, my friend. Thanks for calling. All right, let's go to the call for Erico 7. Let's see. We have another one from Erico 727. He's not here. We have one left from area code. Let me see. We have an anonymous caller. I'm going to take his call with all 1111 shows. And then we're going to go have Ed give commentary also on these callers. Okay, anonymous caller, you're live, my friend. What is your name? How you heard about us? Then your question, please.
Oh, yeah. My name's Mike. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about you several years ago from a friend told me about you. So I've known about you for a long time. One of the questions I've had is I've come across lots of people selling like complex trusts, or it's a structure that allows you to not only protect your assets, but also it helps you eliminate your tax liability that way. Or recently I've heard of a unincorporated nonprofit association, which is actually tax exempt. It's called a 508c1a, and there's, you don't even file taxes with that entity. Are you familiar with those strategies, or is that something that you guys use as well? Because I think a lot of these people may not even understand that even without those entities, you don't have to legally pay taxes, but a lot of people sell those structures.
Right. Well, we pay sales tax, gas tax, property tax. Those taxes you got to pay. But federal income and payroll taxes, the people of the 50 states do not have to pay at all. So what these people are selling is incorrect, in that having operating through a trust, you know, or limited liability company, or unincorporated business association, you know, or any other entity has nothing to do with your tax liability. If that entity is created and based on the laws of District of Columbia, that the United States, they have to file income tax. If you're not from that country called the District of Columbia, it does not apply to you, period. So you don't need to pay all these expensive monies for these common law super duper founding father Patriot, you know, trust, common law trust, or whatever. Not necessary. You're free as you are.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, there is one. They're like charitable religious trust, or the associations, that it's not required
right to
file either. So you don't even have to file. They're selling those, but it's a way to protect your assets too, or people coming at you. So like all your assets could be in the association. You're merely a secretary. You control everything, but you don't own it. So if somebody were to sue you personally, they couldn't come after you for anything, but all your income can go in there. But I know a guy that's been doing it for 30 years and has never had any issues, no audits, no nothing. I just didn't know if you guys use mm-hmm. those things or where do
no.
you – what about offshore bank accounts? Is that something
– No need. Why no need. Do that? Not first of all, number one, most people cannot afford all these expensive trusts. Unincorporated business associations, offshore is even more expensive. Why do that? You free already. You could do this for free. Be income
yeah.
tax free, legally, by phone, Freedom Moscow's website, by relying on U.S. government's official legal websites. If you want to be protected, fine. We offer the option for those of you who want to do that. All you do is, instead of keeping 100% of what you do not give to crooks in the IRS, you keep 70%, contribute 30% of that money to our Restore Freedom Plan, get together with like-minded freedom lovers, truth seekers like yourself, and together more powerful, and we protect you 100%. Any lawyer's fees, expenses, we will pay. These people with these entities, they got this great thing, supposedly, but guess what? When it push comes to shove, and the IRS government comes after these entities, do they pay their legal expenses? Do they pay the attorneys? The answer is no. So
okay.
when it push comes to shove, you're on your own anyways. But whereas with our program, we cover you 100% and we take care of all the expenses to defend you. All right? Any other questions, my friend, before I get some input from Ed Zoll?
I think that's it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Ed, so what do you think about all this debt forgiveness and people doing all these trust entities and offshore, you know, they think they got to do to be tax-free? That's what you're trying to work on, Ed. That's what it's all about, helping people be free with education. Education is empowerment, folks. All right, we have a area code 409 caller, area code, let's see, 631 area code caller. And let's, oh, we got more. Hold on. Let's just 631, and then we got for 443, and then 802 area code caller. All right. From area code, see, I think the next one was 409. Who's the next one? Yes, 409. Area code caller, my friend. You are next. Give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
Hey, Payman, this is Hadley again, and I'm filling out all my paperwork to become a student, and George has been working with me. I come to the last piece of the puzzle to discuss, which is, because he suggested that I call in, and which is the lock-in letter issue, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Done a lot of studying on it, and I found a site that talks about the triggers. Kind of reflects me exactly, because it says high-income earner, which I am, zero taxes being paid for consecutive years of not paying taxes,
mm-hmm.
okay? And, mm-hmm. and I've read the information about the rules and guidelines of Freedom Law School. I've always got and listen, look, what you said earlier about being on the witness stand and looking at the jury, and give them right in the eye, I can do that in my sleep. I don't even have to listen to your spiel for the second time. I know your program and everything. But the lock-in letter situation does concern me because I always have questions. I'm in the energy industry, and I have to solve pipeline and refinery issues, and I have to solve them for engineers that went to school. I didn't go to school for engineer. I always use common sense. So I'm going to break this thing down to what are the benefits, how do we solve it with common sense. Now, to protect myself, basically, I we're all human beings, and God says 365 times in his holy book, fear not, have no fear. Every morning when I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I have a little message that comes up that says, have a joyous day with no fear. So I'm not scared of anything. But as a human being, we always have that little voice in the back of our mind. The only little voice in the back of my mind right now is a locking letter, and I'll be quiet and let you enter.
Do you have a lock letter right now or no?
No, sir. Not at all. I have to look down the road. We raised our grandson until he passed away of cancer, and we were Boy Scouts, and the Boy Scouts have a motto that says be prepared. So I always like to be prepared. I'm finishing my paperwork for Freedom Law School this weekend. I'm gathering in my money to send in. Okay. I'm going to do it. I'm not saying I'm not going to do it. I'm doing it. But looking down the road, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, I'm a very high income earner compared to the average, quote, I got my hands up, quotation marks, you know, the average income across the United States, okay? I'm probably 2.5 times just the average, maybe 3 times. So those are my concerns because it says right here on the triggers, no income taxes paid for several years, high income, that qualifies me. I'll be quiet.
Right. Let me
ask
you.
Sure.
Are you employed for one company? Are you an independent contractor? What's your working
status? No. And I'm sorry. You talk to so many hundreds and thousands of people that currently right now, I cannot become a 1099 employee. They give me extra additional benefits. Okay. So what I was thinking is that I'm not going to go argue with a man that signs my check that I've been together with for about 10, 11 years now that's so good to me. Okay.
Right.
They even pay my health insurance, which is about 16 grand a year. So, I hadn't fought yet with our payroll department to stop them from taking out because my W-4, I made a copy of what was on your website, or I filled it all out, printed it, went over, gave them all the documents. I've got a general manager at the payroll company that does my payroll. Well, I've never seen this in 25 years. All this is new to me. You got to give me time. He ain't going to get it. He ain't going to understand. All right? So the $9,800 that is taken care out of my paycheck every year to cover the wicked, evil payroll taxes is offset by them paying almost $17,000 a year for me for my health insurance. You understand what I'm saying? I'm still six grand ahead. Now, with that said, I'm not ready to pick up the sword and start sword fighting with the payroll department. I'm not ready to pick up the sword and start fighting with my owner that's been so good to me. He's kind of like by what he thinks is the law, okay? But with that said, I'm going to continue this track to join Freedom Law School. You guys will get your paperwork, physical copies and money by mid to end of next week. Certified, I've read all the rules, everything. But I'm just, it's hard to ask somebody, well, what's the percentage or what's the odds? I'm an odds guy, okay? Like whenever I solve an energy company's problems.
So I need to rush you because other people are waiting for the questions answered. What is your specific question? You asked about a lock-in letter possibility or what we could do about it, or what's your question?
Yeah, probability, what's your experience dealing with the lock-in letter? Out of every hundred students, is it like two or three or what?
No, the loculars are rare. They're not very, 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 very rare, but just very, very few people, come across those. And as you noted in our website, that's the one thing we don't cover because the problem is the employer is the one that's doing it, even though at most they should have the lock letter be 1 year. But that's for everybody. That's when the employer is told by the IRS to withhold from your paycheck maximum, as if you have no wife, no children, you know, and they deliberately force over withholding on your paycheck. So now you have to file a 1040 form to get some of that extra money back. So it's not an easy situation, Mika, especially for people who are making high income and a good career job like yours, obviously, is one of those situations. I mean, the thing is that when that happens, you know, if it happens down the road, you know, one potential solution would be to file for that 1 year, give the IRS that you did file for that year under duress with a gun, and then they and we could contact them to release the lock letter, and that can happen. I know people have done that. Sure. So that's okay. Potential one option. Leaving the company obviously not an option for you because you make good money at this career job you got there. Although the other thing is really challenging a lock letter is one of the lawsuits I've had on my drawing board. I didn't get to do one last year. I wanted it so badly, but I plan to do some hopefully this summer. And that would be one of my goals, to get that ball rolling, because it probably take a couple, 3 years before we get any real positive results in the courts, because it takes that much time. So I'll hopefully get that ball rolling, because for that, you got a pretty good point. I mean, I don't have any good, honest answer to that, which you just heard, my friend.
Okay, so my last comment is, my plan is, until you get your wrinkles ironed out with your program and your plan to address locking letters, I'm joining Freedom Law School, number one. If down the road it happens, what I'll do is I'll go down into my company and I'll resign, and I'll say, I'm stepping out of the company right now. Here's my terms to renegotiate, because I've formed an S-Corp or I have an LLC. You can pay me under that, take away my health insurance, take away my car. But you pay the extra income to cover, though. There's always a way, right, Paymon?
Right. That's right. In fact, you just said it yourself. You can always negotiate different terms like that with your work, especially a higher income person like you with experience whose talents are not just easily found down the street. Oh, we get another guy to flip a burger at McDonald's. So you're in a position of power to negotiate with these guys to help them feel comfortable to maybe have you be an independent contractor, have you work through an entity or something. Yes, that's definitely one option.
I got it. Well, listen, we sure love you dearly, and God bless you for your heart and your patriotism, and you have the best program out there. Anyone else listening, I've looked at all of them, the straw man, all that stupid crap. You have it, brother. Love you, man. Have a good evening.
Thank you, brother. Love you, Hadley. Thank you for your good questions. Thanks for doing your homework, asking very on-point, relevant questions, and thinking ahead. And I really appreciate that when people like Hadley, you know, really do the homework. Check us out, read everything, the fine print. You even read all that about locking letters on my website that we don't cover, because it's just something that we cannot cover. I wish I could, you know, and there are solutions. Not always, they're not perfect solutions, but I appreciate someone like that. What do you have to say about that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's not easy. This is one of the more difficult ones. So many things with ours is easy. This is a little more challenging one, Ed. That's a good observation on your part. Okay, we have, looks like we have two more calls from America, 443 and 802. Folks, if you have questions, you can call a caller number we're going to put on the screen for you. Call 657-383-1755. And on your telephone keypad, you can press 1. And we'll take your question next in line, 657-383-1755. Let's put the number on the screen, the call number, please. And press 1 on your telephone keypad because the number is not coming up on the screen for some reason. Okay, area code 443 caller. Okay, give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please. Are you there, area code 443 caller? It looks like
can
he's
you hear
not
me?
There. Yes, I hear you now.
Can
you? Yes.
Okay, good. All right. Yeah, my name is Jackie, and I came across you about 4 years ago. But, you know, I'm someone who lived in the District of Columbia for many years, and I did not use you guys because I knew all the things that you said about Washington, D.C. I live in Annapolis, Maryland now, and while I was living in D.C., I took out money from my 401k, and I thought I paid enough money to the IRS, but they said that I owed like $20,000 more. I live in Annapolis, Maryland now, and because I'm a resident of Annapolis, I've been here for a year. Do I still have to pay that money back?
The money you had in IRA you took out while you were working in D.C., correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Did you put the money in that IRA when you were working in D.C. or in the 50 states?
While I was working in D.C.
Then that's D.C. money, and because it's
okay.
D.C. money, you have income tax on that money.
Okay. All right. So I still have to pay that back.
Sorry. It was a D.C. money that was put in there that by D.C. rules, they deferred the taxes to when you take it out.
Okay.
So you got one of those less than 2% situations where you got to pay income tax only on that money. Other than that, Jackie, for the rest of your life, you're income
mm-hmm.
tax-free as long as you do not, you know, live or reside in D.C. and your money is not coming from performing functions of federal public office. Okay?
Okay. All right. So I'm a federal contractor, so that doesn't mean – because I'm a contractor, that doesn't mean that I work as a federal office official, right?
Well,
because
your check, does it come to you paid from U.S. Treasury or from some other source?
No.
Who comes
no.
the check to you?
It comes all from my company. The comes from the company I work for, not from.
Then you're free.
Oh, cool.
Your company contracts with the federal government. They got to pay income tax, but you are
uh-huh.
an employee of that company. You're not in the U.S. Treasury,
right.
You're fine.
Okay. All right. And also one more question. Oh boy. It escaped me. I'm sorry. I'll have to call back next week and ask you because I can't remember.
No problem.
Sorry.
No problem.
All right.
Quite all right, Jackie. Call back again. If not a problem at all, we'd love to hear from you. Let's see now. We have a call from me called 802. You're live with Freedom Law School, my friend. Please give me your first name. How you heard about us? And then your question, please.
Hi, Payman. This is Rick I heard about you from an interview on Dr. Jane Ruby's show.
Okay.
My question tonight is, we're about ready to sign up, and we are retired with Social Security, private pensions, and private IRA money. So when we stop paying our taxes, I'm interested in what kind of issues come up down the road with the IRS. I would think that they would give you a failure to file thing and then maybe some other letters. And I'm wondering, how long do those letters last? Do they go for the rest of my eternity? Or do they you eventually resolve it and they leave us alone?
Neither. The IRS is mostly bluff, and that's the key thing you got to understand. You know, IRS is a Wizard of Oz made up by the corrupt major media that gave you all the other lies you heard about, okay? So
okay.
They just program you to believe you got to file up income tax, otherwise you're going to be in trouble, and the IRS will automatically come after you. That's not true. You got to go to our website and be sure to get through step three. Realize that the IRS is over 99% bluff and that they're leaving non-filers alone. About 80 million non-filers is based upon the U.S. government's best estimates, 80 million. So they cannot even keep up with filers. So you'd be fine. You should probably expect to get no letters from the IRS. You should be just fine.
Okay. All right. One other question was, there's that 30% tax on 85% of your Social Security, but that's coming from the Title 26. So that also is not real tax to pay. Is that correct?
Well, Social Security is federal money. But the rest of your money is not federal money to begin with. Your pension, your IRA money is not federal money at all. So that rule would apply only if your other income came from Washington, D.C., which is not. So you don't owe income tax on any of your money. Social Security is exempted, even though it's federal money. All your other money you're getting, pension, IRAs, do not come from Washington, D.C., or performing functions of federal public office. Therefore, it's all yours to keep tax-free.
Okay,
okay.
So I wouldn't need to do anything with the 1099s for the private money because they'll see that as income.
Nope, because IRS is leaving non-filers alone, even though they have the 1099s and W-2s. That employees and third parties are sending to the IRS. This is what in step three, I implore you to study. IRS will leave you non-filers alone, even though they have those W-2s. They have those 1099s, and they have you believe it. Oh, IRS knows about me. They see about me. They got that 1099 or W-2 sent to them by a third party. They will come after me because they have those W-2 or 1099s. But no, it's not automatic. People assume that. It's not so. A lot of work to do those things. IRS has this worthless, antiquated 1960s computers that cannot perform. They stopped coming after 9 files, even though they have the 1099s. Okay, you can be fine, and you're joining a Restore Freedom Plan. You're going to be protected because everybody else is going to protect each other by joining hands together. If the worst-case scenario, we ever lose a case, guess what? For one person, then everybody else in the plan can take care of that one person. That plenty of money left over for us to focus on restoring freedom. All right, Rick?
Okay. All right. Thank you for what you're doing, and have a good night. Thanks.
You're welcome. All right. And how what do you think about that? You know, we got people all worried that, you know, they're going to be Social Security may be affected by all this, you know, and it's funny that we got some people that kind of call from actually in D.C. income money in IRA. I don't get that very often. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yes, just leave them. That's always an option. You don't have to work with them. And Jackie did that. She's no longer going to go back to do anything with these guys. And that's where they go, Jackie. I'm proud of you, girl, for leaving DC Swamp. And let's go to, I think we have one more caller. I think we have other people waiting, right? Let's go to the number one more time. If you have a question, folks, we'll take your question right now. The number is 657-383-1755. And then press 1 on your telephone keypad. That's the wrong number, and the screen shows up for some reason. So 657-383-1755. Press 1 on your telephone keypad to get the question answered. Okay, and let's see. Do you have anybody with any more questions at this time? The wrong number goes to the screen right now. It shows our regular office number on the screen right now. 813 RICO number shows up for some reason. 813-444 number shows up. Yeah, okay. So, and we got to have your people on the end correct. They put the wrong number on the screen. They put the office number right now. But the call to call right now, get your question answered, 657-383-1755. So, Ed, you want to give audience a clue as to when they're going to be able to get to see the Slave Nation documentary? We had a world premiere. We're going to put it out there to everybody online. What do you think we can tell them that they can expect to see it on our website? Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. Very good. Well, we got two more calls, Ed, from Erica 740 and 732. So call from Erica 740. Give us your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question.
The entire world will be able to see it, and they'll see you. They'll see you. They'll see the pool. They'll see the ducky. They'll also
Are you there?
The rules and the laws and the like.
Turn your computer down, my friend.
Sounds good.
Very good. 740,
well,
you're live.
Two more calls, Ed.
for America 740 and 732. So call America 740.
740 caller, if you're there, turn your volume on your computer down and announce your first name, please.
Hello.
Okay.
My name is
Joyce. That's you, ma'am. What's your name?
Yeah, I heard Joyce.
Joyce, speak up. We can barely hear you. Get close to the microphone, please. Get close to the microphone. We can barely hear you, Joyce.
Okay. My name is Joyce, and I heard about you on Twitter or X yesterday, and that's why I'm calling, because I need to know, is there a form that we need to send the IRS or anybody that says we're no longer going to pay our income tax, or do we just not file?
The second one, there was no need to announce to the IRS anything because there was never your income tax to begin with. You were deceived. You were conned into paying income tax you never legally owed. They made you believe.
I know that.
So you have to write the IRS at all. You have to petition to your congressmen, your lawmakers. They are the owners of the IRS dog. So not the dog, but the dog's owner, the congressman. And with that petition, you ask them, look, here's a law as spelled out from federal tax laws and other official U.S. government websites. It shows that people of the 50 states like you and me are not required to file pay any federal income taxes. If you're wrong, we ask them to show you. If they show it to you, you pay them. You pay IRS income taxes. But when they don't show you you're wrong, you're obviously right. And you simply, from then on, stop filing and paying any federal income taxes. You never owed in the first place. All right, Joyce?
So I do nothing?
No, you go to our website. That's freedomlawschool.org. Okay? That's what you want to do. Go there to freedomlawschool.org and educate yourself there. And you send petitions for free on our website, freedomlawschool.org, that you will send to your lawmakers about income tax, and then you stop filing and paying income taxes.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Joyce. We have a call from area code 732. You're live, my friend. Please give me your first name and how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
Hi, I'm sorry. Hey, Piedmont. I'm Stacy Clay. Oh, no last name, sorry. From New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard
about
you through Freedom. I'm not Freedom House. Mike Adams.
Very
Simon
good.
Simon and Silk. A few people. I am on Rumble.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes.
Very good.
So I heard
you?
From you from a few people. Yes. I haven't filed taxes in over 10 years because I was
good job, folks. You see, there's 80 million plus non-filers. One called in. Yes, Stacy. Good job. Yes.
Okay, but now
and
I have
free,
a dilemma.
You're not in jail, right?
I'm trying.
Okay.
I'm trying to work with me.
Okay.
So now I have a dilemma. My brother has a trucking company, and I'm now working for his trucking company. I drive a dump truck, and he has to submit a 1099 for my income that I have, you know, earned from working from July.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and your question is?
I want to know when he submits the 1099, you know, what am I to do after that?
You can throw that 1099 in the trash.
Okay.
And go live your life. And educate your brother about Freedom Law School, our website. Tell him you should not 1099 you at all, because that was a false 1099 he sent to the IRS. Because in order to send out the 1099 about other people to the IRS,
right,
you must be a person who is involved in trade or business, which is defined in tax laws as performing functions of federal public office, which your brother obviously does not do. He's a trucker.
Correct.
So he should not be to 1099 anybody. So educate him with our material at our website, freedomlawschool.org.
I understand. And one more question. I was looking to buy a house. However, they're telling me since I don't have any income tax forms, you know, that I filed, that I can't purchase a home.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, that's not true. You can't buy a house without a tax return. It's just that most lenders do not know how to do that. They use cookie cutter FHA Freddie Mac tax return required kind of loans. You can do the bank deposits, okay, or more down payment. However, I would highly recommend you do not buy a house now. Because now is like 2006. We're at or near top of the real estate market. Would you have bought a
Correct.
House in 2006 if you knew it was going to crash in April of 2008?
I was just going to say, what about 2008? Correct.
Yeah, we're at the top of the market. This is not the time. It's the time to sell your real estate. Okay?
Okay.
You get right. out, cash out, not buy. Wait for that crash, and then you know you can buy cheap.
I understand.
My background in real estate
and
finance. Just for right now, paying rent is better than buying. You don't want to buy at the top of the market. You want to buy at the bottom of the market.
Okay. Thank you, Paymont, and I'm definitely going to sign up with your Freedom Law School. I've been watching you for months, and I appreciate
you. Well, you're welcome. Tell your brother to free him and all the structure.
Sir, he's very difficult to deal with because he doesn't understand where I'm coming from.
Well, the bottom line is, folks, you have to wine and dine people to watch this stuff. In fact, quite frankly, folks, I'm going to do seminars across country. I'll tell you guys, I'm going to start doing some seminars across the country. We'll be free to attend. We'll even pay you lunch. And to bring friends with you, so with your presentations, because people don't want to pay for something. They want it free. Fine. Come to free, man. We'll pay you lunch, and you're going to say, oh, my gosh, I have much more than this by not paying income tax. The lunch was nothing. So we'll be doing that.
Yes.
You know, where do you live, Bobby and Jackie? Whereabouts do you live?
I'm in New Jersey, Paymont, and I wanted to come to Florida when you had, you know, your last event. But, of course, I'm on the truck driving every day, 13 hours. So I wasn't able to get there, unfortunately.
Sorry about that. All right, yep.
Yes.
You live in Texas, Jersey, I'm afraid. Yep. All right, well, you may want to change as a trucker your base of operation to a state with no state income tax, you know, like Tennessee or Florida or New Hampshire. You may want to consider that because you don't have to be based out of New York. Truckers travel all across America. Often they live under a truck. I know that many times they do that. So that's an option you have that, you know, when you sign up, we'll tell you more about that as well. All right, Ed,
okay.
Any last comments you want to say about the calls we've had, Ed, that you want to share before we, looks like, end the Freedom Hour tonight? Thank you. Well, Ed, it's fun to do the shows with you. Ed is a very bright young man. You know, he knows the stuff, and I'm excited to be working with people like Ed Zoll, you know, that have a passion for freedom and are smart and good at it, and they're so young because, guys, many decades ahead, these guys may be doing a lot of work and good work to restore freedom for you in America. Is going to get our country back, folks. And he's doing his part. I'll do my part. You do your part, folks. Tell others about us. Put us on your social media, X, you know, on the Facebook, everywhere. Text your friends about our website. Invite them to listen to our 9-minute video on step one. Right there. I'll show you, folks, just step one. There's a video already. Right here. Follow the law. Start people with this video right here, 9 minutes. On the drive to and from work, let them see that based on the official legal websites of the U.S. government, no law requires 98% of Americans to file and pay income taxes. That's it. 9 minutes. That 9 minutes can turn their life completely around. So, folks, it's a pleasure to be with you this evening. I love you all. I hope you all have the opportunity to live free by educating yourself on our website, freedomlawschool.org. Remember, I cannot make you free. You have the key to make yourself free. The key is right there on our website, freedomlawschool.org. Put the key in of knowledge. Listen to our videos as you drive. And watch them as you eat lunch and dinner, and you open yourself the door of freedom and prosperity, peace and confidence, love and joy that you never knew was possible with Freedom Law School. Thank you for watching. We have an FDB. I think this is asked this question. So I should have done that. Remind me about next time. If I made a payment, I forgot about that. Oh, well. Do what he's asking for. We can call the guy back. I'm going to say. Well, he didn't ask any questions. Hadley Cohen. He didn't call, did he? Oh, yeah, he did call. That was a Lock and Letter guy. Yeah. That's a Lock and Letter guy. Hadley Cohen. Yeah, he did call. Hadley Cohen, yeah.
It worked
later,
but there was
nobody on. Yeah, okay. We are good. Well, guys, how many calls do we have? Watchers, viewers, whatever you call it.
On Rumble, we had, I think the highest I saw was 71. On Twitter, never worked. Like,